everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and this is the 39th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast. The show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman, the animated series. We have a special guest host with us this week. It's Candy.
Hi.
Now, before we get started, though, I just want to say that I never get political here on the podcast, and this time it's no different. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Heart of Steel, Part 1. This is, I believe, the third two-part story we've had on the show. The first one being the very first episode, The Cat and the Claw. Then we had the Two-Face origin. This would be the third one, and I believe there's one more, Robin's Reckoning. And I think those are the only two-part episodes, or two-part stories that we get on this show. Original air date for this was November 16, 1992. And we get a weird title card. It's just the title of the show, Heart of Steel, with a like weird machine in the back. Looks very ominous. The starting of this episode, the first thing you'll notice is that this episode looks really old for some reason. There's lots of dirt on the film, and the colors look faded somehow. It adds a lot to the mood, but I just think it looks really weird. We start off in Wayne Enterprises with people leaving for work. A woman in a white business suit walks up to the front desk, puts a suitcase down, and walks away, and we never see her face. Time passes, and two guards are wondering what to do with the case. The female guard wonders if there's a reward for finding it. So, yep, this was a pre-9/11 show. Because if a person just abandons a suitcase in the middle of a building and walks away, no one is touching that thing until the bomb squad gets there. The suitcase opens by itself, and the guards decide to go get a pizza. Because, why not? They bump into Bruce Wayne, who's leaving before the alarms are set. And they walk him to the front door. The suitcase sprouts mechanical legs and arms and an eyeball. And they're like these weird little tentacle arms. It reminds me of something, but I can't really... You remember the movie Small Soldiers?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of the weird eyeball monster.
Wow, I don't remember that guy.
It was just like this weird four-legged thing with a giant neck and like a huge eyeball at the top. Kind of this suitcase reminds me of.
That was a cool movie.
The suitcase robot walks to the stairs, but it needs to get to the top floor, so it shoots a grappling hook. But it's really loud, and I'm not sure how no one heard that. The robot suitcase gets past more security measures, and he breaks into the research and development department. It uses a laser to cut a wall, and then pushes that piece of wall that looks to be about 2 feet thick of like pure concrete. So this little robot is like really strong. It cuts open a safe, and it starts stealing microchips using a vacuum. Because... I don't know, it's weird. It's like an advanced technology, but everything here just looks really old and weird. It's like future technology from like the what people in the 30s thought the future would be like, I guess.
Or in the 90s.
It reminds me a lot of the old like sci-fi movies from the 50s. Like episodes from the Twilight Zone or like something out of like the day the Earth stood still or something like that. That's what all this reminds me of. The alarm goes off, and the guards see the robot in the camera, and they go after it. They lock Bruce Wayne in their office for safety, and Bruce Wayne pulls a Superman, and he changes like his voice mid-sentence. The guard's like, "Stay put for your own safety, Mr. Wayne." And he might as well have said, "This looks like a job for Batman." He leans against the wall, and the wall spins like Scooby-Doo style. And what's weird about this wall is that it just spins, but then there's a separate file cabinet on the other side. So it looks like the wall's still in place when it spins to the other side. But it's a file cabinet, so if you're working as a security guard and you put your file in there, and then, I don't know, Batman spins the wall because he has to go fight crime, And then the next day you come in, that file's missing. So, or does Bruce Wayne hire somebody to make copies of that file?
What makes me think is like...
Robin.
Like...
So like, look, Robin, make copies of all these and put them in that binder.
That's why he got him to be his sidekick, to do little stupid things like that. But like, what makes me think is, like, why did he decide to put that there? Like, was he, like, did he think he was going to use it often? Like,
because the script called for it, that's why. And like you said, I'm surprised the guards haven't found it. He didn't do anything. All he did was, like, lean against it. He didn't pull, like, some complicated switch or put in some passcode somewhere. Or he just leaned on it.
He just walked towards it.
Yeah. The guards reach the robot, but it knocks them out with sleeping gas. The elevator opens, and out comes Batman. A very weird-looking airbrushed Batman. And holy crap, this Batman has been hitting the gym. He's enormous. He's like this weird, enormous-looking, like, buffed-out Batman. But they try to do that effect where everything is like a painting, except for like one thing on him is animated. Like, you know how in the intro they do a close-up of his face, and it looks like a painting, but then his eyes squint, so only his eyes are animated? It's like they tried to do that, but they kind of did it wrong. So Batman just looks like this enormous, like, bodybuilder guy in a Batman suit, and it just looks really weird. Like, that's when you told me, like, you didn't know that this was going to be a funny episode. Batman tries to stop the robot, but it gets free by nearly decapitating Batman with a laser that cuts the elevator in half. The robot gets to the roof and Batman follows. The suitcase robot then makes a huge rocket appear from inside of it, and the rocket, like, just takes off. But luckily Batman has a spare hang glider in a panel on the roof of the building and pulls it out. Don't know why he has that there. I mean, wouldn't the maintenance department have found it eventually? Because I'm guessing they have to go to the roof to do maintenance on the AC units.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd be like, huh, we need to get to that unit there, but it seems to be a giant bat-shaped hang glider in the way.
They just ignore it when they're doing
work. It's a memo Bruce Wayne sent out. If you find any bat-shaped things, just ignore them. Ask no questions.
That's why we can't have superheroes in real life.
So that rocket that took off from the robot lands on the beach, and the blonde woman in white from earlier recovers the chips and gets in a self-driving car with no steering wheel. Now, we still don't see the woman's face. We just see that it's a woman in a white business suit, I guess. Well, she has a white skirt and a white blazer, and she has short blonde hair, like a... What do you call that style? Like a bob, mm-hmm. I guess. She looks like a... Like Marilyn Monroe, like that type of hairstyle. But she gets in a car and she just says, like, drive home or something, and the car takes off, and the car has no steering wheel. Now, I'm not a fake policeman that pulls women over on the side of the road. Oh, it's true, I don't do that. But if you were, wouldn't you find it weird that to see a car with no steering wheel in a universe that doesn't really seem to show that it has those? Like, I mean, I'm sure if we, like, say I have a car that drives by itself, I'm pretty sure a policeman would stop me when he sees that I'm just going down the road without a steering wheel. You would just find it weird.
Or assume it's, like, the Google car.
Yeah, but I doubt he's going to assume that it's just there. He'll probably stop and then be like, what's happening here? Why is there no steering wheel? And then be like, oh, okay, you know, move on or whatever. So Batman appears hang gliding in the sky, but the car spots him, and the lady says, what'd she say? We have an intruder. Even though he's not intruding, he's hang gliding, so he's not really an intruder because he didn't enter anything.
He could have just been minding his own business.
Like, he could have been a regular hang glider guy. So the car has a anti-aircraft cannon in the trunk. And I don't mean like it has like a, like, you know, guns or something. It has like those huge guns, like the type you would see like in a Star Wars. Like, if you ever seen a Star Wars, and the Star Wars has like those guns on the ships, And they shoot the other ships that are the bad Star Wars. Because, you know, the good Star Wars shoot down the bad Star Wars with those. That's what it looks like. Jeez, man. It's like, she starts shooting, but it doesn't shoot, like, machine gun fire. Like, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. It shoots, like, these big ol' ammunition explosions. Like, it's World War II or something.
And, well, it is the 40s, right?
I don't think they ever give a time, but still. It's like trying to kill a fly with a bazooka. It's really... seems like a really exaggerated method to get rid of a hang gliding Batman. It does get rid of him, though. Batman crashes on the beach, but survives, and the lady gets away. Batman goes back to the Batcave, and he appears from an elevator, dragging the broken and wet hang glider. So, did he walk home? Notice he didn't go in through the entrance with the Batmobile, or the Batwing, or the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
He came in from an elevator that was upstairs from Wayne Manor. So that means that he just walked home with his broken hang glider dressed as Batman, went into his house, dragged it all through his living room, and took the elevator to the downstairs. These weird robot arms appear, and they take the hang glider away to be repaired. Batman gets a call from Lucius Fox, and we get another one of those, this looks like a job for Superman type of deals. Because he's Batman, and he's telling Alfred, like, the guy stole the chips. The people are the same. He's, like, talking like that, like Batman's known to do.
And then, well, I like when he answers the phone, he's like Bruce Wayne. He's yeah. Hello.
Yeah, Alfred's like, you got a call from Lucius Fox, sir. And he's like, that's me. Why, hello, Fox.
Yeah.
Lucius tells Batman slash Bruce about the theft and tells him the wetware chips were stolen. But the chips can't be replicated because they don't have the specs, which are still safe in the computer. Alfred shows up with a mop and he just starts cleaning the wet floor because he's a dedicated butler, that Alfred.
Aww.
Then Batman explains what the wetware chips are, so I'll just let him do that. Jumbled scientific talking.
Protein silicon what, Master Bruce?
It's called wetware. The cutting edge of computer research.
Sounds more like a line of swimsuits.
I'm talking about AI, artificial intelligence. The missing link between computers and human thought.
You mean machines that think?
Yes, and with a will of their own. They could process raw data a million times faster than we, yet still be able to make the leaps of intuition that inspired our greatest minds.
Sounds as if the human race could become quite expendable. Except for butlers, of course.
Of course.
Well, my question is, why the hell will you create that, Batman? Why would you create artificial intelligence that thinks on its own, and not just that, because I guess artificial intelligence is meant to think on its own, but you decide to create one that is, like, affected by emotions? Yeah, because that really helps. So, I mean, seriously, come on. Hasn't Batman read, like, any sci-fi books? Did he read all those, like, books that about machines that decided to kill their makers and said, oh, this looks like something we should do? Back at Wayne Enterprises, and Lucius Fox, Commissioner Gordon, and Bruce Wayne talk about who could have stolen the chips. And they mentioned that someone named Carl Rossum, who is a competing computer designer, but that guy has retired since the death of his daughter. Bruce mentions that Rossum taught him everything he knows about electronics and computers. At that moment, Barbara Gordon walks in. Now, this is weird. Bruce mentions that it's been 4 years since he last saw her. Dude. Her dad got shot a couple of weeks ago. And okay, let's just say, fine, in cartoon timeline, it was like, what, a year ago maybe? But it could not have been 4 years since James Gordon nearly died from a gunshot wound that was Batman's fault. And okay, fine, I get it. It was Batman who saw her dad and not Bruce. But that episode showed us that Babs was with Gordon throughout the entire hospital stay. So the whole time Gordon was in a coma, Barbara Gordon was sitting there right next to him. So you mean to tell me Bruce Wayne never visited a dying Commissioner Gordon?
Dang.
What a dick.
But hey, maybe he did visit him as Batman, but just to, like, cover his ass?
Well,
like,
I know he visited him as Batman. They do show that. But that's what I'm saying. So he never showed up as Bruce Wayne when Gordon was probably gonna die.
Dang.
So, yeah. He probably had a date or something. We're gonna see Bruce Wayne just loves the ladies this episode. Bruce points out a small teddy bear that Barbara is carrying with her, and she says that it's Wooby, her best friend since third grade, and that Commissioner Gordon always brings him along when she's visiting. So Lucius, Babs, and Gordon leave, but they leave Bruce with the teddy bear, and then an embarrassed Gordon walks back in and takes the bear from Bruce. I was wondering that too. I'm like, hey, they left the bear with Bruce. We see Bruce Wayne driving to a beachside laboratory, and the door is opened by a small robot. And there seems to be robots all over the place. It's like that movie, AI.
I love that movie.
Or that other movie.
Wrong movie.
AI is the one with
iRobot?
No, iRobot's the one with Will Smith.
I love that one.
AI is the one with that Haley Joel Osment kid.
Oh, and Robin Williams? Was he
the... No, that's Bicentennial Man.
Oh. All my movies wrong. I don't know.
But anyway, so it is. Yeah, I guess it's kind of like the movie Bicentennial Man with Robin Williams. Wow, that movie's sad.
Yeah, it
is. Every time I watch Bicentennial Man with Robin Williams, I get all choked up.
Me too.
Well, not as much as Robin Williams did.
Oh my god. Too soon. Wait, how many years has it been? Like, that's horrible. You're a terrible person.
I'm a terrible person?
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not the one that was just, you know, he left people hanging, so jeez.
Damn. Okay, go on.
Bruce meets with Carl Rossum, who is like a small southern man he's a small southern man who looks like a young Orville Redenbacher. You know that popcorn guy?
Oh, yeah.
He looks like him. Okay, so Bruce Wayne then says this to Rossum.
Just curious if anyone's tried to sell you any wetware.
Afraid not. If anyone does, of course, you'll be the first to know.
Okay, so just remember that line, because it confuses the hell out of me later. Remember that line, Candy. Memorize it.
Oh, okay.
Word for word.
Oh, okay.
Rossum offers cappuccino, and his lamp turns into a cappuccino machine. Then the footstool starts giving Bruce's feet a massage. Yeah, Rossum seems like a smart man. But too bad he's spending all his talent making garbage like this. I'll make a lamp. And it turns into a cappuccino machine. Because that's something people would want.
You know, this type of age, people would buy stuff like that. If they buy a Snuggie, if they buy...
But that still doesn't make it any less stupid.
True.
It's like going to that one store in the mall. What's it called?
Oh, Scene on TV?
No, there's another one where you go and they sell like all these expensive gadgets that are pretty much useless. It's like, put on this helmet and it'll give you a massage on your head. Or you could buy like these $200 headphones that change color with your mood or something dumb like that. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called. But I think it's like Sky Mall or some crap like that. Alright, back to this story here. Rossum takes Bruce into a giant room with an enormous computer. And the computer's name is HARDAC, which stands for Mechanized Organism Designed Only for Killing.
What?
Oh, wait, oops, that's from the other company. HARDAC stands for Holographic Analytical Reciprocating Digital Computer, which somehow sounds even more stupid than the one I said before. So this machine is like the size of a building. And it reminds me a lot of Master Mold from the X-Men. If you remember Master Mold, he was the giant sentinel that would like sit. And he had like little sentinels come out of his chest. Mm-hmm. And by little sentinels, I meant like sentinels that were like the size of a mall. Because remember, one of them gets into the mall and tries to like kidnap Jubilee.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then she's like the most useless like hero ever. So she gets caught and has to be rescued by Storm. Rogue. And then remember, like, Robin Williams hanged himself. But so, a young woman dressed in a weird space jumpsuit, complete with a hood, comes out from inside the machine and she greets Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne starts hitting on her immediately.
What a horn dog.
The Seriously, horn dog. The moment he's like talking to Rossum and he's like, well, the wetware chips.
And he's like, yeah, 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 whatever.
Yeah, and then the girl comes out, he's like, oh, what's your name? He's like fixing his hair. Oh, man, yeah, I'm Bruce Wayne. Look, you know what I'm worth? You know my net value? Let me pull out my iPhone that I own in the 30s to show off to you. So, yeah, he starts picking up on her like right away. He mentions how cold her hands are because he shakes her hand and he mentions that it's really cold, and she says that she was in the cold room inside that robot, and he just believes her, I guess. Her name is Randa Duane, and she's Rossum's assistant. So Bruce immediately sets up a dinner date with Randa for dinner for the next night. Rossum says that certain projects are under Hardak's control, and then we see a robot arm start moving. And by this time, it's not like little weird suitcase robot. It's like a Terminator exoskeleton robot. So Bruce Wayne keeps hitting on Randa. And we see a robot body. And like I said, it's like a Terminator skeleton robot. It looks really cool. And then it goes through a press. The press lifts and the robot body now has human skin. But we don't see who it is yet. We just see like it has human skin now. So Bruce and Rossum leave. And Randa goes to the top of Hardak and speaks with the machine. Hardak needs the designs from Wayne Enterprises, he tells her. Randa says she'll get them soon enough. She removes her hood. And we see that it's the blonde woman who left a briefcase behind in the beginning of the episode. Damn it! I didn't see that coming. That blew my mind. That she's Deception. That blonde woman. It's like when that doctor revealed she was Poison Ivy, I could have sworn it was a different
Or what's
woman.
His name? Like, what's his name? That guy, he found out he was a ghost.
What? Casper?
From The Sixth Sense.
Robin Williams.
Oh, God.
Did you know that they're making a sequel to the movie Ghost?
The one with Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they're making a sequel for it.
So who's going to play... What's his name? Didn't he die?
Well, yeah, he's playing the ghost.
Jeez. So sad.
Dead people. It's always a good source of comedy. So I heard Paul Walk. I'll move on.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not that soon. How long has it been?
Okay, look, if you die, you get about a weekend window before I can just start making fun of you. I wish that when I die, and I'd give it 6 months, would just start making fun of me, like, immediately after I die.
No.
And in front of my mom.
What?
Like, to her face.
I wouldn't be able to do something like that.
What a friend you are.
Unless you want me to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I want you to do.
Oh, okay. Well,
just make fun of me, like, right to her face.
Say, no,
like,
I can't do that.
Look, he's... Fine. What a friend you turned out to be.
Ooh. No.
All right. Hardak says the next duplicate is ready, and a naked man appears, but we don't see his face yet. There's a lot of nudity in this episode. So okay. if you want male nudity, this is the episode for you. That's the one thing that was missing from Batman.
Woo! That's why I got hot all of a sudden.
But then that's why Batman picked up on that girl right away, because there's a lot of, like, naked males. So Batman's like, hey, I'm not into that. Let me show you how much I like the women's.
He got insecure.
Yeah, so he had to show us that he liked women. Like, kissing the women all over their faces. We cut to...
Well, she was pretty.
Oh, yeah, she looked like Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, she looks like Marilyn Monroe.
We cut to Babs and Gordon at their home. The doorbell rings and Gordon answers it. He sees a man and a woman standing in the shadows. The man steps to the light and it's another James Gordon. Gordon yells. Randa tases him. Gordon curses and collapses to the floor. So all this is happening. But then Barbara wonders if everything is all right and walks through the door. Gordon appears, and he seems very robot-like. And Barbara touches his hands and mentions how cold he feels. Gordon smacks Wooby off the couch and sits down to read the newspaper. So, okay, remember how I said all that noise was happening? So when the fake Gordon showed up, fake Gordon was wearing a suit and a trench coat, while the real Gordon was wearing his pajamas. So you mean to tell me Gordon answered the door, yelled, cursed, got tased, fell down, then the replicant had time to change into Gordon's pajamas, and this whole time, Babs wasn't wondering why it took her that 10 minutes to answer the door? She, like, after 10 minutes just wondered, like, that's an unusually long time to answer a door. You could tell she's gonna make a great Batgirl one day. Back at Wayne Enterprises, where Bruce and Lucius have this exchange.
As of last night, Carl Rossum hadn't been approached to receive any stolen goods, but he knew what was stolen.
Okay, what the hell are you talking about, Bruce? So Bruce says that he's like, oh, if Carl Rossum is a smart man, he even knew what was stolen. You told him! You were the one who went in there and said, well, we had our wetware chips stolen. If anybody tries to sell them to you, let me know. You told him what was stolen. He didn't guess. And he didn't, like, incriminate himself with anything. He didn't say, like, oh, our wetware chips were stolen. And then Rossum said something like, yes, those artificial intelligence chips are really on high demand. Or something like that. He just said, I'll notify you if somebody tries to sell me stolen technology. So I really don't get that part. I don't know if the writers messed up or if I'm missing something here. Bruce, apparently, only invited Randa to dinner to get information from her. Yeah, okay, whatever, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce.
Whatever. Oh, Lucius is like, I heard you're going to squeeze information out of his assistant. And Bruce is like, I wouldn't exactly call it squeezing. And then they kind of like start.
What a pig.
Oh, then they kind of start like nudging each other's with their elbow, huh? Get it on. They kind of start like.
And he's like, ah.
They kind of start like. Lucius starts like fake boxing Bruce's stomachs. Oh, you devil, you. Oh. And then like Bruce rubs Lucius's head like, oh, you know
he
it.
Gives him a noogie.
But at that moment, Randa shows up, and they're like, oh, we were just talking business. Randa and Bruce and Lucius leave. And she leaves behind a makeup case. And yes, it's a compact, but I'm not sure how many guys listening know what a compact is. But either way, she leaves a little makeup case on the desk. Mm-hmm. Back at Gordon's house, and he's sitting at the table not eating. And Babs is angry because the only thing Gordon will say is, I'm fine.
I just want to tell you this right now. If a guy, is that all he tells me, I'm going to get pissed off.
Oh, jeez.
Like, you have more words. It'll bug me.
Come on, really?
I'm a woman, okay? Can't help it.
So I can't be an unemotional robot because you get all up in my case then.
I would.
Story of my life. Well, you know what then? That's fine.
That's me, though. I don't know about Barbara, but I guess she got...
It's basically all women. All women are like that. Every single one of them, I believe. Not to generalize or make any assumptions, but I think with 100% certainty, every woman overreacts that way. Back at Wayne Enterprises, and the makeup case left behind turns into a little robot. Again, with the little weird tentacle legs and another eyeball coming out of it that looks like that toy from Small Soldiers. It's about Small Soldiers, right? Not Toy Soldiers.
It's Small Soldiers, yeah. Right? Yeah. It was little live toys, and they were fighting with the other creatures.
I like that movie.
I know, me too.
They had young Kristen Wiig in it.
Who is this guy?
Who?
Kristen Wiig.
Oh, no, I don't know her name.
Oh.
Kristen something, the girl that played Spider-Man's girlfriend.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, her. I can't stand her.
Man, when she got older, she got kind of,
She looks like a lollipop.
I don't know, something about her eyes creeped me out.
Well, her head is like the size of a suitcase. It's like this big, huge block, like a blockhead, like Charlie Brown.
I think that's why her eyes creep me out, because they're like, their eyes are right in the center, and then it looks like they're about to roll behind their
head. And then she's like a horrible, horrible actress in the Spider-Man movies. I cannot stand her.
Yeah, she looks like she's going to pass out when she's like trying to be romantic.
You remember in Spider-Man 3 when Peter Parker slaps her?
What? I haven't seen that one.
Well, you're lucky. Damn. Well, there's a scene where Peter Parker slaps her.
Ooh, I want to see this.
I clapped. I seriously, 100% realistically clapped when he slapped her. I clapped in the theater because that's how much I hated her in that movie. She was just awful. I can't say she's awful in everything because I don't know if I've seen her in anything else. Well, she was in Jumanji, I guess.
Yeah, I remember Jumanji. When she was younger, it was okay. But, like, when she... In that movie, like, the Spider-Man, when she was trying to be romantic, it just seemed icky to me.
Well, what's his face? Peter Parker always looked like he was going to cry, and he made these weird, like... He made faces like Screech from Saved by the Bell. Like,
I thought it was adorable. I like his lip. It's one of those lips that I want to go...
So that was our review of Spider-Man, the movies. All right, so the thing turned into a robot. I think that's where we were at.
Yeah, sorry.
Bruce... the little robot starts stealing data from the computer. Randa and Bruce are having dinner at his house by laying on the floor in front of the fireplace for some reason. Like, I'm gonna take you out to dinner. You figure he's gonna take you to, like, some expensive restaurant. But instead, they're just lying, like, on a rug in front of the fireplace at his house.
Sorry. Go on.
Bruce mentions that Rossum must be a genius to know that wetware chips were stolen from him. You told him! Stop it with this. I have it on record. I played the clip. You remember the words word for word, Candy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and we played it. The phone rings. Okay, and this is the weird part. He asks her, like, she says, like, oh, he made this one invention, and Bruce is like, yeah, he must be a genius, especially if he knew the chips were stolen from me. What do you have to say about that? So it sounds like, oh my god, he's going to start interrogating her. She doesn't say anything. She just sits there and smiles at him, and then the phone rings, and he just gets up. He's not going to bother. He's not going to let Alfred answer the phone.
Doesn't that scene look kind of weird to you, that scene?
Yes.
He just gets up and walks
past her. He just gets up and walks past her.
Because he looks really tiny and her face looks huge. Sorry, go ahead.
Bruce answers the phone and then he says he has to leave. But if Randa needs anything, just let Alfred know. Okay, is that something rich people do? Like, when they have to go somewhere, they just leave others alone in their enormous house full of valuables? Because I don't do that. Like, if I'm recording this...
They can afford it, for sure.
Well, if I'm recording this right now and somebody called me and said, hey, can you show up to work and do this? I wouldn't just be like, okay, Candy, just when you're done, just, you know, lock the door. I'd excuse myself and tell you, like, sorry, I have to leave. And I'm guessing you'd have the common decency to say, like, okay, then, well, let me get my stuff and go.
Yeah.
You're not just go, okay, well, do what you gotta do.
I'll wait.
Finish here, yes. Mm-hmm. Or is that just, like, something white people do?
I have no idea.
I don't know any white people.
Well, let me remember if something like that happened to me once.
Probably not.
I think it did.
Somebody just left you in their house and then you stole all their valuables?
But I'm trying to remember who it was.
Oh, and then did you steal all their computer data?
No.
Oh. Back in the office, and there's cops all over the place, but they can't find any clues, and it looks like the files have been stolen. Lucius wonders, how do these guys keep getting into the office? Dude, the two guards saw how they were getting into the office earlier with robots. There's even security footage of it.
That's so true. It's like, don't you know?
And the little robot is like hanging outside the window. And he overhears Bruce telling Lucius that the stolen file was a dummy file and that the real file is at his house. So Hardak gets this information and tells Randa to look for the file in Bruce's home. Alfred hears Randa talking and he approaches her. He's like, oh, I thought you might like a spot of tea. She knocks him out with a taser.
Poor, he was all happy and jolly.
Yeah, he's all like, I heard you talking. No, I thought Mr. Bruce Wayne was bad. And she just tases him. Oh, Alfred, will you ever win? Bruce calls his house to ask Randa more questions, but the phone isn't answered, and Bruce gets suspicious and leaves back to his house. I thought they were going to do a scene where the phone was going to ring, and Randa was going to answer it, and then she was going to speak in Alfred's voice, like Terminator. You know how, like, he calls and it's like, oh, I'm looking for John Connor or whatever, and it's like Connor's mom's voice or something. Oh. I thought that's what they were going to do, but no, like, she just doesn't pick up the phone. Randa uses some weird goggles to see through walls, and she finds the Batcave. She informs Hardak that Bruce is Batman. And, okay, I know why she's wearing goggles, but I can't really get into it until the second episode where we get her big secret. Ugh. That she's not really a blonde. So,
we all knew that.
We can't really discuss it. Not until the second episode. Bruce arrives home, and he finds Alfred knocked out. Bruce puts on his Batman costume first, and then reaches the Batcave. He tells the computer to scan, but the system goes haywire. And remember those two robot arms that, like, hoisted the hang glider earlier? They pick up Batman, and they carry him to, like, dizzying heights in the Batcave. He screams for his life!
What?
The end, to be continued.
That's the first time I've seen Batman scream that hard.
Yes! And then it just ends.
So, and they do the close-up of the mouth, too.
Yeah, they do like the, we're gonna zoom in into the mouth into blackness type deal. Like if Daffy Duck was screaming and then they just zoom all the way into his mouth and fade to the that's all folks sign or something. It's a weird episode. I don't have any after show notes because if I do, it's going to ruin everything about part two. So the only things I could really say about this episode is that the animation is really well done. It's weird because it's not that Japanese animation that sometimes makes them look like anime, like the Mr. Freeze episode or the On Leather Wings episode where it looks kind of like Akira or Ghost in the Shell or something like that. The animation's really good, but it looks like American. Western. Yeah, it looks like Western animation. It looks like odd, and it's just the film grain and the way that it looks dirty just gives it this different look. Like if it really does feel like you're watching an episode of the like Superman cartoon from the Fleischer Brothers.
Oh yeah,
it looks,
that's true.
It looks really weird, but it looks good. It doesn't look out of place. Not like that episode, that Clayface episode, where people were walking, like, paper cutouts, and we had that booger Batman dripping from the ceiling.
And like, the swing.
Yes.
Where he just gives, like, he's like, oh, no.
So it's really well animated, but I'm not sure. I stopped taking notes on what studios did the animation, because I figured people really didn't care who did it, as long as it was good or bad. But I'll try to look it up for next episode, because it's just odd. I'm not sure if this studio did more animation for the show. I think they did a good job, but it just it's a weird Western feel to it. And the story is very, 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 very sci-fi heavy. I know it has a lot of influences from stuff that I've never seen, like what's that one movie with Harrison Ford where they're robots? Blade Runner. I know it has a lot of Blade Runner influences. As a matter of fact, the guy who does the voice of Carl Rossum is actually the actor from the movie Blade Runner, who's the doctor or scientist or whatever that creates the robot.
Cool.
There's a lot of references to science fiction books that I do not know the name of because I can't read. I know that there's the license plate is called RUR, which is an abbreviation for a title of a book, which I didn't take any notes. I'm going to do like all the big notes in the next episode.
I think maybe, like, it must have been, like a nod to, like, those classic.
Yeah, this whole episode feels like a nod to old science fiction, but not movies, mostly kind of, like, old science fiction books. It feels very, like I said, the Day the Earth Stood Still or War of the Worlds type thing. Mm-hmm. It's really cool, though.
And iRobot, too.
Yeah, it has, like, a weird feel that most Batman episodes don't. So I really like it. I like the way they're mixing in science fiction, but it's not this out of the... Like, how can I say it? It's not very futuristic science fiction. It's not like Batman Beyond or something like that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It feels kind of dated and kind of goofy, but it still worked and it's really cool. So I guess that's kind of be it for the notes. So let's just head on to the Batcave archives.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
The Batcave Archives is where we rank every episode we review thus far. This is the 39th episode of the show. And it's a weird one. Because so far, as I mentioned, this is the third two-part story we've had. And that's kind of what sucks about these two. I mean, that's the way I decided to rank this show, episode per episode, not story for story. So we have to rank it on its own. And the fact that it's a part one means it's very slow moving because it's setting up the characters so that in part two we get the payoff to them. And I think that even though it's a good story, on its own, as its own episode, it doesn't work. Because it's too slow. You don't get to know who any of these people are. You get to know kind of how their attitudes are, but not what their end game is. So as a single episode, just on its own, it doesn't really work. When you watch the whole part, it works. Because I've seen part two, and as a big story, it really works. And like I said, that's the problem with ranking the two-part stories. Two-Face, the origin with Two-Face, that would have been number one on my list if we had ranked it as a whole story instead of two parts. Clayface, the what is it called? Feet of Clay. That origin, that first episode was horrible. And you could tell they just wanted to get that done so that they could get to the second part, which is like an amazing episode. The Cat in the Claw, again, the first episode is really good. And then the second episode, they kind of like ran out of steam. So, I don't know how... Well, we're going to have to find out next week if this one runs out of steam or if it keeps it up. I liked how it ended on that cliffhanger, though, with Batman screaming. So, I don't know. I don't know where we could rank this one. It's kind of weird. It's a weird episode. At number one, we have Almost Got Him, which is the episode with all the villains playing poker, telling Batman stories. And honestly, this episode is nowhere near that. But it's not as bad as number 38, our last episode, Prophecy of Doom, which is that episode where Batman fights a fake psychic. I don't know, where...
So something beat... What was the last one that I did with you?
I can't remember the last episode you did with me.
Yeah.
But...
I think it was, like, the first part of Clayface, no?
No, you've done episodes with me after that.
Yeah, you did.
But, I don't know, this one is just... It's really hard to rank... I'm gonna rank it kind of toward the bottom, and it's not fair to the episode because it's not a bad episode, but on its own it doesn't stand up. It needs the other part to complement it. Do you think this episode is better than The Last Laugh, the episode where Joker has that robot clown? Do you remember that one? Where Joker is spreading laughing gas with a garbage ship and he has a robot clown?
I like that one better.
Really? You like that one better than this one?
Wait. It's not with the one with the fish, right?
No, that's not the one with the fish.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm thinking of ranking this one above that. That episode is ranked at number 29. At number 28, we have The Cat in the Claw Part 2, which was the second part to that story, but it wasn't that great.
Mm.
This episode is actually better than that. Night of the Ninja is the one ranked above Cat in the Claw Part 2. Do you remember that episode with the ninja? Where he gets kicked out and... Because Bruce Wayne caught him stealing a sword.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like the reporter was there,
yeah.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't fight the ninja because the reporter was
there. Yeah, because she would see him.
Yeah. I forgot how... The animation was pretty bad, huh?
Kind of. It was alright. Not the best.
Okay. Well, I don't think it was a bad story.
No. It was just kind of generic with the villain just being like a lame ninja. And it turns out...
Ninjas are cool.
Yeah, but not that one.
Oh, okay.
He was just a ninja who was like... It was pretty much like Die Hard where, you know, he's like, oh, I'm gonna fight for honor. No, you're not. You're a thief, and they never hide the fact that he's a thief, and he's just like a common criminal at the end. I don't know. This episode, I guess, would rank it kind of that. The Clock King is above the ninja episode. I don't know. The Clock King, I think, is a dumb episode. I don't like that villain. I really don't like him. He's just an old man who knows how to tell time really well. How is that able to beat Batman? I know it takes you 1.2 nanoseconds to throw a punch, Batman. That's how I can dodge it. Yeah, I'm sure that works in real life. If that train is traveling at 500 miles per hour, I know it takes 2 seconds for it to run me over. By the time you do the math,
he already got hit by a stupid train.
And even that, I could know how fast it takes to get out of the way of like a punch from Mike Tyson. That doesn't mean I'm going to be able to pull it off.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, oh, that train's at the speed it's traveling, it's going to get here in 2 seconds, and I know that, and it doesn't mean I'm fast enough to get out of the way. So Batman should theoretically have been able to beat the crap out of this old man for like 30 minutes, and that would have been the whole episode. Christmas with the Joker was the episode we did last week. I don't think this episode is better than the Christmas with the Joker. Is it better than the Clock King? Yeah, because it sets up what actually turns out to be a really good whole story.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a bad story.
That's where we rank it. This episode, we're going to rank it at number 26. So our new number 26 is Heart of Steel Part 1, right underneath Christmas with the Joker. As I said, it's a very weird episode to rank just based on the fact that it's a two-parter. But next week, you'll get to find out how the thrilling story ends. I think that's going to be it for this week. Anything you want to share about your comics, about your about your life, about your feelings? Anything you want to share with us? I mean,
so much to share.
How do you feel ever since your husband walked out on you?
I'm slowly dying inside, and
well, that's good. Oh, but seriously, I know that you have been working on the comic book.
Yep. Uh-huh. So it's late because it was supposed to come out October 1st, but it's late, so they're still reviewing it. They need to do some changes. It might come out, I don't know, maybe around December. You'll know when it's out. And then I'm working on issue 3 now too.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's worth waiting for, so I'll tell you guys that. I know you're also,
And the Taco El Gato website is down right now, so. But I'm on Facebook and Twitter and...
Look for her on Facebook, as Candy Briones, or on
Taco
Instagram.
Taco El Gato page.
Taco El Gato page. Also on Instagram, look for her as, Feline Friend Meow? Is that the name?
Yeah, 17.
Feline Friend Meow 17. Look for her on Instagram. On the side, I don't know if you want me mentioning this, but I am anyways. Candy's doing work, nail art. She's doing,
thank you.
She's doing nail art where she does, I don't know how to explain it. She paints on your nails.
I draw cartoon characters on your nails.
She draws cartoon characters on your nails. They're really cool looking. She showed me quite a few of the ones she's done. So if you live in the LA area, hit her up on Facebook or on Instagram.
Yeah, look at some pictures.
Look at the pictures of the work she's done and... Yeah, try to just contact her. She'll reply back, let you know if it's something that maybe you could meet up with her and have your nails done. So if you're into nails and nail art and all that stuff,
or cosplay, they're perfect for cosplaying.
Yeah, she does cosplay nails. Mm. So yeah, I'm serious. Look it up. Look up her work. It's all good. As for myself, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show. I'm sure I have. I have been working on a children's book titled Mean Merle in the Pigeon of Frisante Park. It is completed. We had a prototype version done, but we needed to make some changes. It is written by Guy Hutchinson and illustrated by myself. It is a story for kids, I would say maybe from ages 5 and up. It's a kid story, something you could read to them for bedtime, or that it's still advanced enough for them to read on their own if they like. So, it's going to be out, hopefully, by Thanksgiving. It is about beginning of November right now when we're recording this. So, hopefully, by the end of this month, I'll have issues done. I'll be letting you guys know how you can get a copy of it for yourselves. So, that's what's been happening on my front here.
The pigeon in that book is adorable. I'm in love with that pigeon. I don't shut up about that. I love that pigeon. So cute.
And I think that's going to be it, everybody. So thank you for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes, or on the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I've been your host, Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are Batman. We're fighting robots.